Future Self in the Know.
Support us now and beyond by making your year-end gift now at WJFFradio.org. Your support today leads to a greater tomorrow. Give now at WJFFradio.org. Thank you.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Calicoon Farmers Market, Calicoon Creek Park, serving local needs every Sunday and accepting pre-orders at CalicoonFarmersMarket.org. From Forthright Cider, Youngsville, ciders and mead crafted with locally sourced ingredients, supporting community charities with a portion of sales through the Solidarity Cider Program. ForthrightCYDER.com. And from listeners like you.
Welcome to the Local Edition, news and information keeping you connected in the Catskills of Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And coming up on this program, we will be checking in live with Rock Hill to talk about their 7th annual Tinsel Trot. That's right, the Tinsel Trot. Over the past 6 years, Tinsel Trot's raised over $40,000 to support local charities and the Monticello High School students in their academic endeavors. But what is a Tinsel Trot? You're going to have to stay tuned for the second half of the program to find out. But first, looking at COVID locally, cases of COVID in our region are on the rise again, jumping up sharply in just the last few weeks, and officials are continuing to respond. Just tonight, not too long ago, New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced 4 more confirmed cases of the COVID-19 Omicron variant, for a total of 12 known cases of this variant in New York State. And the governor added, quote, "Keep yourself and your loved ones safe this holiday season. Get vaccinated. Get your booster as soon as you can," end quote, from Governor Hochul. Earlier today, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced a new vaccination requirement for all private sector workers in the city. Proof of vaccination already required in restaurants for adults will now also be required for children in New York City. And closer to home, Sullivan County currently has more active COVID-19 cases since it's had at the beginning of the pandemic. And the most recent number, we'll get to the latest numbers after this next interview. But first, this rise has been so quick and so significant, the last week was bookended by updates from Nancy McGraw, director of Sullivan County Public Health, who released a video update last Monday apprising residents of the situation, and then released a press release on Friday evening encouraging residents to maintain social distancing in public and to wear a mask whenever they cannot. Radio Catskill reporter Meg Duff spoke with McGraw earlier today for the latest on the pandemic, how the county is responding, and what folks should do, what they should keep in mind as we all head into this holiday season.
Nancy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Last week we learned that Sullivan County COVID cases are the highest they've been since the start of the pandemic. What can you tell us about why cases are up and who's being impacted?
Yeah, we saw a surge in cases just before Thanksgiving. And with the colder weather and more people going indoors, we did expect some, increases, but not quite this dramatic. And we think partially what's happening, which is true in really across the state and in some parts of the country, is that with the return to school, a lot of kids were remote in the spring, and then they had the summer off and then came back in full force at almost 100% attendance indoors. We think that's really fueling a lot of this spread. As you probably remember, the vaccine was only made available starting in the spring and early summer, approved for children from 12 to 17, and then very recently in the last month or so for 5 to 11. So We still are in a race to try to get as many pediatric clinics and children vaccinated as possible, and not just public health, but pharmacies and healthcare providers. So, you know, we're still, as we see these winter surges, we still need to focus on vaccination, because that's really the main thing that's going to get us through this pandemic.
What are the vaccination rates like now in Sullivan County, and what are they like among kids, since that's the newest group?
Well, the smallest vaccination rate is among the 5 to 11-year-olds, because they just recently became eligible for a vaccine. So that's around 7 or 8% of our population in that age demographic are vaccinated so far. That's pretty low. That's why we're also seeing a very high number of new positive cases in our schools. And then the next age group is 12 to 17, about 45, 46% of them are vaccinated. The group that's the best vaccinated and has the most protection, I'm happy to say, are age 65 and older, and especially in our elderly 80s, 90s population. They have really good vaccination protection in the high 80s percentage. So early in the pandemic, they were the ones to be the most impacted, as we knew, by serious illness and death. Now we're seeing people ending up in the hospital who are much younger, in their 40s, 50s, 60s, who have underlying health conditions such as diabetes, hypertension, overweight, having asthma or COPD. Those are the folks, especially if they're unvaccinated, who are really, that's hitting them hard. So we can't stress enough the importance of vaccination as protecting you. It doesn't mean that you won't get COVID, because no vaccine is 100% effective, but it will provide that 85 to 90% or more protection that a person needs, so that if they do get exposed and infected, their illness as a result will be much, much less severe.
And are cases mostly happening among unvaccinated people, or are they hitting everyone?
Cases are primarily hitting everyone in terms of people testing positive, but it's mostly among the unvaccinated. And it's there are cases that are occurring among fully vaccinated people, but it's a much smaller percentage. It's a much higher percentage in children who are not old enough to be, now they're old enough to be vaccinated, but maybe haven't yet gotten a vaccine. But the people who are getting really sick and going into the hospital, are the vast majority, 80 to 90% of them every week are unvaccinated. So we can't stress enough the importance of getting vaccinated, just to protect you from severe illness, hospitalization, and possibly death.
If people are hoping to get vaccinated this season, or to get a booster shot or a flu shot, or to get children vaccinated if they haven't been yet, what resources are available? How can people start taking those steps?
First choice really should be parents should call their healthcare provider or pediatrician, and then, you know, they're certainly welcome to sign up for our clinics. There are clinics that public health holds every week. There are pharmacies. We have a list of pharmacies that's updated every week in terms of who has vaccine available and for what age group. There are some pharmacies that are doing pediatric vaccines, as well as some healthcare providers.
Recently, we've learned about a new COVID variant called Omicron. Do we have any evidence yet for Omicron in Sullivan County? And is this something people should worry about, or is it just another strain?
Well, the research will evolve as they find out more about the Omicron variant and how it's going to impact our population in the United States and in different parts of the state. It has not yet been detected in Sullivan County, but it's just a matter of time. It's popping up in New York City and the western end of the state. It's just a matter of time. Delta is still the primary variant we should be concerned about, that's going to make people sick, especially very sick if they're not vaccinated. Omicron, so far in terms of what we know, is more highly contagious, meaning it more easily spreads. But in the cases in South Africa and the cases that have popped up in the U.S. so far, don't seem to be making people really sick. But again, this is a fluid situation, and the researchers have to watch it carefully to see, how this particular variant is going to behave. Also, we want to see how it holds up against our current vaccines, because mm-hmm. the vaccines that we have now have held up really well with the Delta variant, but we don't know how it's going to hold up with the Omicron variant. Hopefully it will.
I know so many of us are so ready for a normal holiday season this year, but what steps should we be taking to keep ourselves and our loved ones safe?
First and foremost, we know the impact last year that the pandemic had on the holidays and on a lot of people in terms of socially, emotionally, economically. And I don't think any of us want to go through that again. So the best thing we can do is really to take the wise steps of making sure that you and your family members and or friends who are going to be spending the holidays together are fully vaccinated. And if there are children who are too young to be vaccinated, that if you're indoors for a long period of time, socially distance, and even try to wear a mask if you can. That is the best protection, but vaccination, and certainly get a booster if you're eligible for a booster as well. I think it's important in terms of heading into the holidays, and also for parents of children in school, that they understand that, we all are in this together, and disruption to our lives has sort of become the norm. We will consult with school districts and ask them, what their unique situations are in terms of the number of cases in their district, the number of staff that they have who are out due to illness. But in the end, that decision of closing a local school district is a superintendent's decision. That's not the decision of the county health department. And we will continue to work with them very closely to make sure that they have all the information they need to make those kind of decisions.
Have there been a lot of closures of schools this fall due to COVID outbreaks?
So far, there's only two very recently within the last week that have gone fully remote. That is Tri-Valley and Eldred. So we don't know what's going to happen with some of the other districts. But we want to keep schools open and keep kids in school, because it's very important. But we also need it to be safe. And I can't stress the importance of mask wearing and vaccination in order to get through the other end of this. I think a lot of parents have been sort of putting off getting their kids vaccinated, but they shouldn't put it off any longer, because our cases really are shooting through the roof, and we don't want a lot of children getting sick.
And do we still need to be masking up indoors if we're just around friends and family who are already vaccinated?
For the most part, you can feel pretty comfortable that you don't have to, but, that's an individual choice. Certainly, you have a very, very low chance of getting sick. It's very small if everyone is fully vaccinated, and especially if you have that booster. So the risk is minimal enough that you can probably decide to just enjoy your indoor festivities with your family and friends, knowing that you're all vaccinated without a mask.
Is there anything else you'd like people to know before we go?
We've, since the beginning of 2020, had just over 10,000 confirmed cases of COVID. Right now, we've got over 1,100 in quarantine. And, we're getting pretty close to 500 active cases. That's really, really high for a county our size. Our rate is really high. So I would just encourage people not to become complacent. Get a booster. Please get your children vaccinated.
That is good advice to end on. Thank you for joining us.
That was Radio Catskills' Meg Duff talking to Nancy McGraw, Public Health Director for Solomon County, earlier today. Before we get to our next guest here on the local edition, let's just check where the numbers are for COVID in Sullivan County right now. According to Sullivan County Public Health's COVID-19 dashboard, which is available at sullivanny.us, 472 active cases that we know of right now. And that's down slightly from where it was on Friday, but it's up way, way, way up from where that number was just a few weeks ago. Same deal with the number of those on quarantine or isolation. That's 1,085. That's down from Friday, but it's still way up from where we were a few weeks ago. The number of those in the hospital is up today to 12. There are 4 patients in intensive care units, and that's the numbers, at least that we know of, in Sullivan County due to COVID-19. And when those numbers get updated, we'll let you know. Stay tuned. Coming up, we have our next live guest right here on Radio Catskill. We'll learn what the tinsel trot is. This is the local edition.
Take a second look at Lyon.
I would even call it the capital of France.
Hear the many ways Iceland has changed the world.
When you're thankful for living in a democratic society, you should really think of us.
And consider what it takes to develop a beloved community in America.
We desperately need a unifying, hopeful, moral vision for this country.
It's all on the next Travel with Rick Steves.
Tuesday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the local edition, news and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole, and we're continuing the program now with our next guest checking in live from Rock Hill, because this Saturday at 10 a.m. in Rock Hill, folks will be trotting and jogging and strolling in the 7th annual Tinsel Trot. This year, the event will be held in person. Over the past 6 years, the Tinsel Trot has raised over $40,000 to support local charities and also the Monticello High School students in their academic endeavors. On the phone to tell us more about this event, President of the Monticello Teachers Association, it's John Maranzana. Hello, John. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So, Tinsel Trot's been happening in Rock Hill for 7 years. Can you tell us, well, let's talk about what it is, and then you can tell us about how it came to be.
Sure. So, the Tinsel Trot, as you said, it's been going on since 2015. This is the 7th year. And the Monticello Teachers Association was looking for a way to engage with the community and raise some funds. We support the Sullivan County Federation for the Homeless, Sullivan County United Way, and we also use proceeds for our Monticello Teachers Association scholarship fund for graduating seniors. So we were sort of looking for something to do to engage with the community and to raise some funds and have a little bit of holiday fun and festivity. So we sort of came up with the idea to do a December 5K run and walk.
Okay, and, you know, December's not usually the time of year that people decide to do walks in our neck of the woods anyway.
So it's great. There's not a lot of competition out there. There's not a lot of races happening this Saturday.
That's the way to look at it, yes.
Actually, the idea came from a group of us. We're pretty big fans of A Christmas Story, and there's an annual Christmas Story 5K run out in Cleveland, and we participated in that in 2012. So we sort of took that idea. We encourage dressing up in your favorite holiday finery and costumes to keep warm for the race. And we've really been lucky for the past 6 years. The weather has really cooperated with us, and we really haven't had too much snow to worry about. And temperatures have always been pretty favorable for us.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you having this time of year, you're going to encounter some colder temperatures, possibly some weather. Is there a point at which, though, you might have to postpone it? Do you have a rain or snow date?
We never have set up a rain or snow date. We always try to schedule it on that day. Like I said, the logistics make it pretty hard to create sort of a rain or snow date. So it's sort of weather permitting, as right. And it always has been, and the weather forecast is looking good. We put in a call to the North Pole. So I think this Saturday we're going to be looking at temperatures in the 40s, I believe. So it should be perfect.
Right. And why set yourself up for failure? Like, don't worry about scheduling a snow date. That's when the fates will be against you. Go boldly, get out there and trot. I do have to pause though, because you mentioned dressing up in holiday, finery or costumes. Do you have something that you wear for the holidays when you're out there trotting?
I always throw in a little holiday surprise. I can't tell you what it's going to be this year. But absolutely, I think if you got to the course, you'd probably be able to recognize me.
Is it going to be different? Is it going to be different than what you've done in past years?
Yeah, always different. And I'm usually the runner at the back of the pack, bringing up the rear.
Okay. Can you give us any examples of what you've done in past years then?
Well, we've not just me, but a lot of people. We've had reindeers. We've had pink bunnies. We've had Santa Claus usually makes an appearance. We encourage ugly holiday sweaters. We encourage sort of any holiday gear that you would like to put on, whether that's for Hanukkah or Christmas or any other holiday that you celebrate. People generally put on a lot of great colors and do it up.
That's great. And I'll just, for the listener, underscore that pink bunnies, that's another reference to the Christmas story there. So that's hilarious. Just picturing that in Rock Hill there. Is there still time to for people to sign up if they're interested in this?
Absolutely. So there's a couple ways to sign up. You can sign up. You can go to runsignup.com. And if you typed in Tinsel Trot, it will bring you to it. Again, that's runsignup.com. You could also go to the Monticello Central School District webpage. And if you went to the calendar for December 11th, you would find the registration information there for the Tinsel Trot. And as always, you can always show up day of the race. We always have day of the race registrants. Registration will start at 8 a.m. At Dutch's in Rock Hill. And we'll be registering runners, walkers, and holiday revelers until 10 a.m., until the race starts.
Okay, great. And what's the route? What's the route like that you're going to take? You're going to start there around the Dutch's area?
Basically, we start at Dutch's. It's a 5K. You go up on Lake Louise Marie Road, and then there's a turnaround on Old Sackett Road. There's a pretty nice little hill that you start on to get your blood going and to get your heartbeat up. When you finish, you come back down the hill. So it's a nice way to finish the race.
So you're actually on the Teachers Association. So you're a teacher at the school. This is what we're asking everybody this time of year. It's the end of the year. So we're looking back at the year that we had. What stands out most to you as we look back at the past year, 2021?
Well, it's been a really challenging year, I think, for a lot of people, particularly in education. I'm super proud of the teachers and the staff in our district. People have really stepped up. Obviously there was a lot of disruption in education over the past year, and kids coming in had a lot of needs and continue to have a lot of needs. And the professionalism of our staff never ceases to amaze me, and the time and energy that they put in to help our kids. And this race is another way that they do it. We have so many volunteers from our district and even people outside of our district and in our community that help us out with that. Everything that we raise for the race, every penny goes back right into the community.
Absolutely. And how are the students holding up this year compared to last year?
Well, I think they were initially encouraged about being back in, and with all the perks that being in school has. Like I said, I think there have been definite some small drawbacks and setbacks for them. I was listening to your previous guest talk about our spikes in cases and some districts having to go remote. So it has been challenging, but like I said, I think our kids are really resilient. We have great kids in our district, and I think for the most part, everybody's trying to be positive and appreciative of being back in school lives.
At first, I thought you were going to say that at first the students were excited to be back in school, but then they realized they're back in school. Which
well, they are students,
right?
So once the schoolwork started,
they were like, "Oh, now I remember. That's what this is like." Yeah. Okay. And as we look ahead to 2022, what are you looking forward to? Your hopes or concerns for the new year?
Well, you know, I'm very hopeful. I certainly hope that we start to return to more sustained normalcy of schedule in our district. You know, I certainly hope for continued funding for educational systems in the county and all over the state. And I'm really hopeful for the kids. You know, like I said, I think our students are very resilient and positive and enthusiastic. So I look to a better 2022. I mean, I think 2021 was better than 2020. So I look for continued improvement to push through and to hopefully start to put COVID in a little bit of the rear view.
Okay, absolutely. Same hopes here. We're going to wrap up real quick, though. I'll tell people where they can find more information about the Tinsel Trot, which is happening, 7th annual. It's happening at 10 a.m. in Rock Hill this Saturday at 10 a.m. kicking off. Just real quick, though, what are the charities that it benefits?
We give our money to the Sullivan County Federation for the Homeless. The last year we also started contributing to the Sullivan County United Way, and we also use a portion of the proceeds to fund the Monticello Teachers Association Scholarship Fund for graduating seniors from Monticello High School.
Okay, and there's info, people can still sign up, info at runsignup.com, look for Tinsel Trot, or there's information at MonticelloSchools.net, that's the MCSD website, MonticelloSchools.net. John, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us tonight, and it sounds like you're going to have fun on Saturday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having a great day, and we really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right, happy holidays, and stay warm.
Happy holidays.
All right, that's going to do it for the local edition. And yes, once again, that was John Maranzana, Monticello Teachers Association, talking about the 7th annual Tinsel Trot in Rock Hill this Saturday. And thank you so much to John for joining us. Thank you to, as always, the Public Health Director Nancy McGraw for speaking with Meg Duff earlier today. Thank you to Meg Duff for doing that. Thanks to Patricio Rubio for producing this program. And thank you for listening. Make sure you don't miss any episode of the Local Edition. Sign up for the Local Edition podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Stay tuned. Coming up, we've got LaVos in Breve and our fantastic Monday night news and politics lineup. This is Radio Catskill.
Support comes from the Homestead School, Montessori education, preschool through early college with campuses in Glens Bay and Hurleyville, building the intelligence, creativity, connection, and skills for an ecological future since 1978. Homesteadschool.com.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Sun River Health, providing accessible health care at over 40 community locations across the Hudson Valley, New York City, and Long Island. The care you need, the respect you deserve. SunRiver.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville. Radio Catskill. Public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
And just a quick look at the weather. Remind you that tonight, overnight low down to 27. Rain will clear out, but there will be rain on the early end this evening and into the early part of the night. Overnight low down to 27. Increasing clouds through the day tomorrow. High of 33. And cloudy tomorrow night and a slight chance of some flurries or even snow. Stay tuned. Coming up, it's LaVos in Breve.
Si eres un cliente de una residencia o de un negocio con 25 empleados o menos y has sufrido un cambio monetario por el resultado de la pandemia del coronavirus, puedes ser elegible para una protección especial y evitar terminación de servicio por falta de pago. Debe de contactarnos no más tarde del 21 de diciembre. Visita Central Hudson Diagonal Cover para más información. Si necesita asistencia monetaria, no espere. Contáctenos hoy.
¿Sabías que han habido más de 70 sobredosis en el condado de Sullivan desde el 1 de enero de este año? Por eso, los servicios de salud pública del condado